Welcome back. Rightly dividing the world of truth. So last week we looked at very interesting things. Rightly placing. To rightly divide is to rightly place, as our beloved teacher Pastor Moses taught us. To rightly place and to rightly apply. Then you went ahead to say truth can confuse.
Sure.
That really shook me greatly.
Yeah, truth sure. can,
and you gave examples, scriptural examples.
Sure.
And you said something also that struck me. You said the dressing of the bride is revelation.
Mm.
That's very interesting. Mm. Then the dangers of not rightly dividing the word of truth. Mm-hmm. Confusion, error and confusion. That was what you said. And you said error has anointing.
Exactly.
You gave the instance of somebody preaching error and people are falling under anointing. You even used yourself as an example.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
That was very interesting.
It's true.
And then you said the confirmation of the truth then is not sensation.
At all.
Not because of any vibration you felt or anything.
At all.
Salvation must not be based on an experience, on a sensation, but on the truth. Thank you so much. It has laid the background.
I emphasize that again. That sensation, that whatever experience you have, must bring you to the word.
Amen.
It is only an instrument to move you to the word.
Amen.
And you don't hold on to that experience until that experience has been confirmed by the word.
Amen.
That is why you must study.
Mm.
Because Satan can give you an experience.
Mm.
A demon can visit you. You see? And even there is need to be cautious when it comes to the things of salvation. He said, give diligence.
Amen.
So you cannot be careless over it.
Mm.
To make your calling an election, sure.
Amen.
Yes.
Wow, thank you so much, sir. And today we have some interesting topics to look into.
You know, I'm sorry to cut you. Somebody had an experience today.
Wow.
A young lady. And then she's coming to tell me that the Lord gave her an experience that shook her. She saw the end of the world.
Mm.
Yes. She heard about the trumpet and things like that. A very frightening experience.
Mm.
And the voice was telling her that, you see, you can't make it.
Wow.
Because you have not forgiven two people.
Mm.
And she said, actually, in life, she has two people that offended her badly. And that the voice was telling her, for you to make it, you must go and forgive these two people. Now, the way I'm going in the story is that he said that they should listen to what I'm saying concerning the end, that the end has come.
Mm.
And that they should listen to what Pastor Moses is saying.
Amen.
Now, this is where I'm going. He said, for him, Pastor Moses, he said, he has already made it.
Mm.
He is, he has made it. He will be in heaven.
Mm.
Now, but you cannot make it because of this reason.
Mm.
And things like that. Now, you see, experience. Now, I know better than to say, because she said a voice told her, I will make heaven, therefore I will sit down. It didn't mean anything to me. Because I'm not going to go to heaven by confirmation of somebody's experience, whatever you had. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You know, you see why I said, you know, make your current election sure. I already know what will qualify me. It is not for me to now know. Am I following that? Because remember, he said, he who think he stand,
take it,
lest he fall. Now, so many people, when she gave me the revelation, I was just smiling. I said, hey, thank God for revelation. I would have been doing like this now. I will make it. Mm. Never. I'm not going to base my eternal destination on such testimony. It's not their testimony that will make me know whether we go. I will know by the life that I live and the way I relate with my God. In line with the scripture, I will know. So if you are going to to base your going the rapture because a voice told you, you are my daughter, you are my son, you are already making it. Satan can tell you that. And make you relax. No, we don't receive confirmation to go to heaven by thus said the Lord, by any experience. By Pharaoh, his servant, and destroyed him again later. So I know better than that. You know. So the father is saying, Go and tell my son Moses. I know better. So that is why we don't base our salvation on any experience.
That's a very serious one, sir.
Yes.
I think it will be a topic of another day. Salvation by experience.
By experience.
Well, I'm going to look into that, sir, because there's so much.
No, it's still salvation by assumption.
Assumption. Because as we are speaking, questions are coming up.
Thank
I don't
you.
Want to
okay.
debate from
it's
our topic
right.
for today.
It's okay. We'll
now,
go
sir, we're looking at rightly dividing the word of truth. You laid the background last week, and if you didn't join us last week, try and get the volume, the first episode of this topic, rightly dividing the word of truth. Pastor has laid the background of what we want to look into today. Sir, I would love to ask you, do you, Pastor Moses, do you believe Elam Bram is a prophet?
Yes, I believe he is a prophet.
Okay.
In the sense that he has a message from the Lord. That is who a prophet is.
So if I'm to ask you what makes him a prophet, how would
now, that is why you see me, I didn't just say, oh, he's a prophet, because I know you Gentiles, what we know as a prophet is one who says something will happen and it happens. God said this and it happens, you know. And if I look at the ministry of William Branham, I have not seen any such prophecy he has given that came to pass. You understand? I mean, that will qualify him to be a dispensational prophet. Now we know of Isaiah, and we know of Jeremiah, and all those, you know, those are, you know, even Moses. So we want to properly place things, you know. We don't just want to be idol worshippers.
Yes, sir.
Now, so when you ask me that question, it's a very, very difficult question. Yeah, difficult, not that difficult for me to understand, but difficult for me to place it in a way that I will not be misunderstood. You understand? That's why I say it's a difficult question.
Okay.
For the understanding, my understanding is perfect. I have no controversy, no confusion over the placement of the ministry of William Branham. Yes, he is a prophet, but not the thus said the Lord, rain will fall tomorrow, and like we are hearing, like they spoke about prophecy he gave how many years ago about that a woman will rule America and things like that, and such prophecies, you know, that's not what will make somebody a dispensational prophet. So many other people
yes,
give
sir.
Such
research.
Revelations.
That's true.
So many people, you know, give such revelations. Revelations that he gave, you know, many of them after the event takes place, then he now says he saw it so years ago. Now, so somebody that talks like that, you will say because of that he's a prophet. You know, a prophet does not vindicate himself. You know, you don't vindicate yourself. You don't come out and say, this thing that happened, I saw it in a dream. That's what, therefore you say, oh, I am gifted. No, I am the one to, I will know that I am gifted because what I saw came to pass. That's my personal faith. It keeps my faith going. But if I say something and it comes to pass, then you will say, I am a prophet. Because that is how to identify a prophet. Let's identify a prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18.
Amen.
And maybe from verse 18.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 18 from verse 18.
Yes.
I'll raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. and will put my words in his mouth.
That is how you identify a prophet. He put his word in his mouth.
And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
He will speak to them.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
So it's dangerous to downplay the words of a prophet. Okay? But
the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die.
Now, next verse.
And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?
How will you know?
When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord.
Now, he must speak in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord.
If the thing follow not.
Now, what he speaks, then something will follow.
Nor come to pass.
Yes.
That is the thing which the Lord has not spoken.
Now, so the identification here is that he will speak and what he speaks will follow.
Come to pass.
Yeah. Now, most of the things that William Branham spoke are things that the fact is already on ground. Then you say, I saw it
so years ago,
like the seven visions that he said the Lord showed him. It was after they had come to pass, and then remaining one or two that he gives it. So we are supposed to believe him. We have reason to believe him. But that is not why we make me say he's a dispensational prophet. There must be things that he speaks. Now, that is why you see the entire message believers are holding tenaciously to the camera, Harris, because he said purple color, a woman dressed in purple color. And then, interestingly, on the day of her inauguration, she was wearing a purple color dress. But remember again that the prophecy said it could be either a woman or
a church.
Now you see, and our prophecies don't go that way. that is why I said you cannot therefore say this is a dispensational prophet based on that. Because there is also the picture of the Pope of Rome, which is a Catholic church, wearing purple color dress as part of his dress.
That's right.
He wears purple color. So now he himself was not sure whether it is a literal woman or this. And that would have been, so you can see the excitement because people want to justify him as
a prophet.
But I'm saying that then they talk about light. Halo of light, pillar of light, and all these. The critics have brought out undeniable facts. Sorry to use the word. Undeniable facts. All those are controversial. Including the cloud. All those are controversial. They go into details to disprove that. And if you are an honest person, if you're an honest person, it only causes you to review your look at the ministry of that man. Then there are some statements that he makes, and then he makes it here and then changes it in another place and things like that. So people who are sincere will make you, like me, take a review again of that ministry. Because remember that we the elect cannot be left in confusion now.
Amen.
Understanding is very, very important. So, the question you ask is very relevant. And the question is,
What makes
him
William Branham a prophet?
A prophet. What makes him a prophet, the mouthpiece of God that released a message to this age, is exactly the same thing that made John the Baptist a prophet, and even more than a prophet.
That's right.
You see? And that is what made William Branham more than a prophet. I consider William Branham not just to be a prophet, but more than a prophet, because he came in the order of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had no vindication of pillar of fire, cloud, healing, deliverance, miracle. I don't know any.
No one was recorded.
At least we don't know of any recorded.
Yes, sir.
You know, but I keep saying, anyway, let me not go that way. So the vindication of a prophet that will be more than a prophet like John the Baptist, therefore you will look away from miracle signs and wonders.
Then what do you look at, sir?
Now, what was the ministry of John the Baptist? He came to prepare a way.
Amen.
He pointed us. The church had left the guide, the Bible. And all of a sudden, a ministry springs up. Screaming. And he was the only one doing it. That is the interesting thing. You know, to bring us back to the word. Back to the word. And you know, incidentally, you know, I love that picture you are seeing on the screen. I love that light. No matter what you speak against that light, to me, it is still a message to me.
Yeah.
That God still allowed that light to be photographed. Even if it was a reflection of natural light on the negative, it is still something that God will use a natural thing to still speak to us. What is it? To tell us and see where the light is.
Amen.
It's very interesting, very exciting to me. To let you know that light there that you see on his head, you know, for those of us who are spiritual, we know that God allowed the picture to take, because William Brown said he used to see the light. That is his personal testimony. We don't see it. He's the one that saw it. But we know that in the Old Testament there was a light.
Amen.
I think Exodus 13.
Yes, sir.
And a cloud.
That's right.
And that is the reason why believers of the message take that cloud and the light very seriously as a vindication of his ministry. Now, whether it was supernatural, they have said it is not supernatural. It is the light that reflected on the lens. I said, praise God, it is natural. But God was using it to give me a message. Because it didn't appear on the other people's head. God didn't allow that light to strike other negatives that we have photographed. So, and you see it positionally placed there. To me, it is God's own way of saying, see where the light is.
Hallelujah.
And that's why you see me, I hold onto his ministry, guided even jealously.
Amen.
So, it is the singular ministry of bringing us to perfection. Bringing us back to the wholesome word of God. That is what makes him a prophet.
Bringing us back to the wholesome word of God. Yes. That's what makes William Branham a prophet.
Yes.
Nothing more.
It is, thus said the Lord, come back to the Bible.
Wow. So, sir, in rightly dividing the word of truth now, so we are not going to look at the miracles and the testimonies.
No, if you do that, there are other people, even his contemporaries, that had even more miracles than him. Have you heard of A. Allen?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard of Smith?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard of big? Try to go and read this book Robert Lyon put
general.
Together and see those God generals, see the mighty thing. Even a woman, Catherine Comer.
Yes, sir.
Did you see the might? There are some experiences that woman had that William Branham never had. But, I mean, she was so filled with glory of God that it is recorded that wherever she landed, 50 meters away from where she stood, any sinner that came within that radius would break down and give their life to Christ.
Wow.
She an anointing. William Branham himself acknowledged her, that God was with her. The only thing was, because he was in the ministry of bringing her back to the world, he said, nevertheless, she was out of the perfect will of God. But he recognized the glory of God on that woman. So, and the experiences, the mighty, you know, glory that was seen around her was not seen, at least recorded in the ministry of William Branham.
Wow.
So that's not what you will use, therefore. And that's the reason why intermessage believers, they keep projecting these things. And these denominationals, they have history of other men. So they will tell, what's the big deal about his own now? Healing. Even now, there are people that are mighty healing still taking place. So you won't use that to project that ministry.
And sir, you are saying secondly also, you know, in the entire message cycle, the seven prophecies of Abraham is very popular. And you're saying we are not going to use that also to...
No, the reason is because even, in fact, I can show you another quote where he said all of them have been fulfilled. You understand? Now, they were after the event prophecy, revelation. He tells you he saw something in 1933, and in 1950, 1951, he is given the revelation after they have all come to pass. So will you say that is prophecy? You can't use that now.
Mm.
You know, you can't use that before prophets that we are seeing now. You know,
exactly, sir.
I mean, you can't do that now because they tell you something will happen and it happens.
Wow.
I mean, even the coronavirus that was coming, didn't we receive a revelation in this church that it will happen?
Mm.
Like something God told me, the Lord took me to March 2020, and when I entered March 2020, that is going to be worse than Ebola. And the Lord said, I should tell the children of God here, because you are here this night, that nonsense will not come to you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Nigeria has confirmed its first case of coronavirus since its outbreak in China in January 2020.
You know, it will happen, and it happened.
Mm.
Now, so you won't call that as a dispensation. You use that to confirm a dispensational prophet.
Wow.
No, it's more than that. What makes him a dispensational man of God is that he brought us back to the Bible.
What makes him a dispensational man of God?
Yes.
Is that he brought us back.
And he's the only ministry that did that. The rest run off with one thing or the other, make, you know, build a wall around it. And then he gathered all together for the perfection of the saints in this age.
In this age.
It's part of divine agenda.
Thank you so much, sir. I know a lot of people might not take this easily, but this is very interesting, sir. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
No. The people that will not take it are those blind followers of, you know, but what I'm saying helps the denomination as to understand the man's ministry.
Amen.
You know. And that's why many of them are really trimming their lamps now.
Mm.
Many of them, many all around the world,
Amen.
Listening to us.
Hallelujah.
They now understand the ministry of William Branham better.
Amen.
But these idol worshippers, all they need is, so they just shifted from Pope to Branham. They just shifted from their GO to, and then you can see all the nonsense they're doing with it.
Mm.
The purpose of the ministry is not fulfilled.
Amen.
If they cannot come back to the word.
Amen. Well, sir, to follow closely to the first question I've asked you today, because you are saying William Branham is a prophet and you've given us what makes him a prophet, I want to ask about the midnight cry. You know, in this ministry, you have taught for a long time that the midnight cry is the end time message, is the ministry of William Branham, and so on like that. But what about now? Let's rightly divide this truth.
Now, so we now go to let them know where we get the midnight cry scripture from, Matthew 25.
Yes, sir. Matthew 25.
Just get the whole parable so that when we are making reference,
okay,
some people may understand.
Matthew 25 from verse 1.
Yes.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
Mm.
And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish.
Yes.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Mm-hmm.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
Yes.
And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins...
Again, verse 6.
And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage.
Now, rightly divided the word of truth now.
Mm.
There was a midnight
cry.
Listen very well, Olumide.
Yes, sir.
Because you too You are Abrahamite.
I believe the prophet.
I believe the prophet too.
Yes, sir.
But I seem to understand him better than many of you.
Mm.
You know. And that is why I'm having more converts now coming. In fact, more people have demanded for the messages of William Branham through my ministry.
Wow.
Than any other ministry. Because all of a sudden, so there's such a ministry we didn't know. Such a ministry we didn't know. You know. But when we want to place him, then that is where people have problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen very well. And the bride of Christ, rightly dividing the word of truth, listen very well, because this thing I'm saying, you will not see it in any bookshop.
At all.
Okay. Now, what is the midnight cry? Listen, it is called what? Midnight cry.
Yes, sir.
What does it say? Verse 6 again. Behold,
the bride will come. Yes, sir.
That is a cry there. It's a message. It's a ministry. Behold, that is the coming of the Lord. And he said what? Go ye
out
to meet him. It will be a movement from one estate, the estate you are in, to move where you are. Now, why is it midnight? It will take you to the third seal in Revelation chapter 6.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now,
verse 5.
Now, Revelation chapter 6, verse 5.
And when he had opened the third seal.
When he had opened the third seal, what did he see?
I heard the third beast say,
yes,
come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse.
What is it?
A black horse.
And remember that, okay, it's a book of symbols. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
Yes.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny.
Uh-huh.
And see thou ought not the oil and the wine.
Now, if you read verse 5 and verse 6 very carefully, you will notice that this black horse, remember that it is the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 said, I will build my church.
Yes, sir.
And the gates of hell
shall not prevail.
Amen. These gates of hell are the manifestations of the Antichrist spirit that will be released during the period of the church ages. Within this period, how he will move in four different launch of his attack. But in Revelation chapter 4, we will see that God also had four beasts.
Amen.
I've gone over this over and over for those who may be listening to me for the first time. He had four beasts that were before his throne. The first one was what?
The lion.
The second one was
the
what?
The calf.
The calf. The third one
the face
was
as a man.
The face as a man.
And the flying eagle.
The flying eagle. Now you will notice that as the church was inaugurated and it was moving, the Antichrist spirit started. That is the revelation that was sealed in that book, that nobody will know, and God himself made sure that nobody knew what was inside, the revelation of what was inside, until they had all come to pass, so that we will understand where we are.
Amen.
And how we got to where we are as a
Amen.
Church
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So what he did was that the Lord Jesus himself was the one that was qualified to open the book. Remember that it is the book of redemption that was handed over to him. Well, we know all that story. Let me just go straight to the point. Now, the first seal was open. Let's see it.
Okay. Revelation chapter 6, and I start from verse 1.
Yes.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying,
which now which beast would that be?
The lion.
Okay.
And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer.
The beast was the one that told him, come and see. And then he showed him what? What did he show him? A white horse.
A white horse, yes, sir.
And he that sat on him had a bow. And the crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Nobody knew that revelation.
Amen.
Nobody knew what it meant, but the seal was opened.
Amen.
So, but the revelation of what the white horse rider is, and the first beast that came to see. Now, oh glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
We understand.
Amen.
By the Issachar anointing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Called the bride's anointing.
Amen.
And who brought this out? Along as this was about to be fulfilled, in this, as the seventh, the last church age was about to be ushered in, these revelations by theologians, God began to give them, particularly Clarence Larkin.
That's right.
Clarence Larkin, you know, brought the meaning of that beast.
Amen.
That said, come and see, and the meaning of the first horse rider. But nobody picked it up because it was not yet time. But it was God that gave him.
That's right.
And he got it perfectly right.
Amen.
Until William Branham's ministry started. And because it is a perfecting
ministry.
All these revelations that people run off with, he now brought all of them together. Including the seven church ages, including these seals.
Amen.
That you wouldn't even see them in any bookshop. You know. So through this revelation, we are now able to understand that the first beast that said, come and see, God's standard that God raised to counter the Antichrist spirit was an anointing.
Amen.
That would make you to understand. And what did he see? A white horse. It is the Antichrist spirit, and see what is going on. And then we moved to the next seal that was opened.
And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see.
And now,
and there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword.
The horse became what now?
Red.
Red. Color of blood. And you see killing going place. And that they should kill one another. That was the age where the martyrs, you know, the saints, and it's a very horrible history, which every theologian should know. And then, so it is the same horse rider that was white, trying to look like you, took over the church, began to be, we are one, scaring you a little bit because he had a bow, but there was no arrow. And then, before you know what, he is now
red.
When they could not believe it, changed and was killing them. He turned red. But when he discovered that though he was killing, they were not, you know, because there was a standard to counter him.
Hallelujah.
Now, take note. Take note. The standard was not to stop him. The horse, I mean, the lion was boldness to continue. Continue with the faith.
Amen.
Start with the truth. Continue. A boldness, though they were scaring them, but there was that boldness of a lion. Then it moved, because his aim is to stop and frustrate the progress of the gospel, as prophesied in Genesis 3:15. He will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman.
That's right.
Okay? And that is the progress of the church. And Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail, because it will fight. It will not prevail because there is a standard that will keep the church going.
Amen.
Then now it changed to red. Killing. But he noticed that because there was now the ox anointing. A burden bearer.
Burden bearer.
No matter how you kill him, he will still do what he wants to do. No matter what you do, he was bearing it. The more they were killing the Christian, the more they were giving their lives to Christ. That means he didn't succeed. And therefore, it went to the third seal. This time now, that horse that was white, that changed to red, now became black. Meaning what? That was the period of the Dark Ages. In that period of the Dark Ages, we are, is it not because of revelation of the word that they are believing something and then they will not change. So withdraw the word from them. Mm. And this is light. When you withdraw light, darkness sets in for about a period of 1,000 years. Mm. Most 1,000 years. History says it.
Wow.
And then they all, of course, you know, it was fulfilling Matthew 13 and verse 33.
Matthew 13, 33.
Yes.
Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and eat in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened.
The 3 measures of meal, a woman, that is the false church, took leaven, the way of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. False doctrine. Mixing with the 3 works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And 3 works of grace were corrupted. It produced the darkness. But let's go a little bit deeper. God allowed it because it is a law for a seed that is planted to die. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It must die. But so he allowed it to die when this corruption took place. And we all know when paganism and Christianity mixed together in that almighty Nicaea Council meeting agreement that brought death. And maybe that is the kind of agreement with Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 9, the Antichrist and the Jews again. Each time it does that, it brings death. Okay? And then total death, total darkness, no more word. But there was a life inside.
Amen.
Now, see the way it is put in the Sardisian church age. Am I correct? Now, if you open Revelation chapter 3.
Yes, sir. That's 4.
Yes. Now you know, this is where the darkness, you know, really, really got in. That is where the church died. Read it from verse 1, chapter 3 from verse 1.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis,
yes,
write, this thing saith thou, the 7 spirit of God,
uh-huh,
and the 7 stars. Uh-huh. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest,
yes,
and art dead.
Yes.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die.
Yes.
For I have not found thy works perfect before God.
You see?
Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent.
Uh-huh.
If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
Now, verse 4.
That was a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments.
You see, they still left some life there. Mm. Yes.
And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
Now you see, now that seed that is planted, that, don't think that it is totally dead. There is still a life.
Amen.
And all that we need for that life to come back is just some water.
Hallelujah.
Just some water. Once water from heaven fall there, the life will respond.
Amen.
And so it was in this, let's go back there, chapter 6 and verse 6.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say,
yes,
a measure of wheat for
that eternity. Was all they were doing within that age, trading with the word of God, payment for everything. They pray for you, you pay. They bury, you pay. You dedicate, you pay. You commit sin, you pay. Everything, you pay, you pay, you pay, you pay. Yes?
A measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny.
Then he said what?
And see thou ought not the oil and the wine.
Now, in the midst of that darkness, there is going to be a revival.
Amen.
That revival is that midnight. The darkest hour of Christianity.
Hallelujah.
1,000 years of darkness. The darkest hour, there is a cry made. You see, that's why I tell all this long story.
Amen.
Is to make you understand that statement. A cry made, midnight cry. What was it?
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Yes.
Go ye out to meet him.
It's a revival. That began the deliverance, the restoration ministry. to restore back to what it was from Pentecost. Amen. Before they killed it.
Hallelujah.
The original word.
Amen.
The original faith that was corrupted. So that begins the ministry of restoration that will go on. That is why he said what? See, thou hot not the oil and the wine, because this revival will not be stopped.
Amen.
It will end in the rapture.
Mm.
So it, that is where you hear the shout.
Mm.
Now, that is what Apostle Paul was referring to as the shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
For 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
You see, now, that is the midnight cry.
Amen.
There will be a shout. It is a revival. That shout is, come up hither. We are going home. That is the pool that will eventually take us to heaven. That is the revival that produced the modern day Protestantism, and it started with Luther. He said, touch not the oil
and the wine.
And the wine. Because before then, you dare rose against the system, they kill you. But all of a sudden, Luther, we know the story of Martin Luther, who led that move, led that revival. And the Catholic Church, that was the Roman Church, that, you know, held sway and kept all in darkness at that time, wanted to get at him. But the king, God raised a protection for him,
Amen.
The king of Germany, and protected him.
Amen.
And that is why the revival continued. Amen. Until the three works of grace totally restored. Now the shout, therefore, is what is still going on from Luther till now.
So the midnight cry began from Luther.
From Luther. To come out of error. Come out of the denomination. And then move on to four stages that is depicted in that parable of Mark chapter 4 from verse
26. Mark 4:26. Yes. And he said, so is the kingdom of God.
To restore the three works of grace and bring perfection.
As if a man should cast seed into the ground.
Yes.
And should sleep and rise night and day.
What's the first? Yes, go ahead.
And the seed should spring and grow up. In
and that is the story of the church.
For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself.
First is what?
First, the blade.
Luther will come out. Yes?
Then the ear.
John Wesley, holiness.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
Luther is justification.
Hmm.
The three works of grace that were corrupted, you see it being restored now.
Amen.
The first one is the blade.
Yes, sir.
Luther, justification.
Amen. Then the ear.
The ear God used.
Wesley.
John Wesley, for holiness without which you cannot see God. That is the ear.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
And that is when God used William Seymour for the restoration of the gifts, the third work of grace in 1906.
But when the fruit is brought forth.
Now that the fruit is brought forth.
Immediately, he put it in the sickle.
The fruit to be brought forth, there will be a fruit producing ministry.
Hey.
Because there are a lot of other things that needed to be put together. It's not just justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. There were other doctrines that we are missing. That people run off with them. There will be a ministry of perfection.
Amen.
That will produce the fruit. And it is when it gets to that stage where you see the church believing and practicing again what this apostolic faith, as apostolic faith was delivered to us. When you see it form exactly as it was, then you know the rapture is taking place. So that is why God now raised a man to achieve that. And as the true church, you know, Satan is still there confusing it, but God, you can't defeat the purpose of God. There's an anointing. You can see me speaking the way I'm speaking. I didn't read that from Bible school.
Amen.
You know, where did Luther get his own? You need just one word to be quickened to Luther, and then God took over.
Hallelujah.
The same thing with Wesley. One word to be quickened to him. And, you know, the same thing with me. One word quickened to me. I said, no, we are getting it wrong. And so usually at a course, you lose friends, you lose close associates, you lose people, call your names, and you know. But the anointing keeps us going.
Amen.
That is the purpose. And now, we are now in that fruit-forming ministry because we are now at the end time. So that is the shout. You know, we used to say it is William Branham that fulfilled the shout.
The midnight cry.
The midnight cry. We preach it. That is now, that is what we are trying to correct, I'm sure. So the midnight cry started from Martin Luther.
Yes, sir.
And then goes on. And William Branham is only being part of it.
Wow.
Yes.
So, in fact, the ministry, we are seeing in Mark chapter 4 of the growing of the...
Four stages.
That's the midnight cry.
That is the midnight cry.
That's the shout.
That is the shout.
Hallelujah.
That is the midnight cry. Come out from the darkness where you were buried and begin to come out. Begin to come out. And God used four men to achieve the ministry of restoration.
Wow. Four men.
Luther. Shout is the restoration ministry.
Amen. The shout is the restoration ministry.
It's the restoration ministry. And that is, and if these followers of William Branham will ever understand this fact, then they will be able to properly even do the work of the ministry, because many of them are not restored. You know, they're not restored. Can't even break down simple scriptures.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. The shout is the restoration ministry. That's the midnight cry, the restoration ministry, and it begins with Luther. Four men that God has used: Luther, Wesley, Seymour, and Branham.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a short break on this. And when we come back.
And so, because we're talking of dispensation now.
Yes, sir.
You see what makes William Branham a dispensational minister? It's the same thing that made Luther a dispensational minister. John Wesley, a dispensational minister. William Seymour, a dispensational minister. It's the same thing that makes William Branham a dispensational minister.
Restoration.
It is for a dispensation.
Amen. Amen. Okay, since you've opened the seals, when we come back, we'll be looking at the seals, and the pastor is going to rightly divide the word of truth. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.